I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word, open to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And allow your eyes to begin to fall on verse 19. We're going to take some time and just begin to unpack verses 19 all the way through verse 34. But we're not going to read all that to begin with. We're only going to read verses 19 through 23. If you would, let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. I'm reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. You follow along the versions that you have following our reading. I'm going to just get low before the Lord. I know we have a lot of guests here with us. What we like to do is just, I bow down and just ask the Lord to move amongst us and in us and through us. And if the Lord gives you grace to join me, I'd certainly invite you in that. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19. The Lord Jesus says to His disciples and to us, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" Pray with me. Well, gracious Father, Lord, we come on Mother's Day thanking You for godly mothers and for the values that they have imparted to us. And Lord, I pray as Jesus warned about a life lived in the darkness, Lord, would You bring light if that's anyone here today? Lord, would You bring an enlightened life? Lord, would You bring Your Spirit and move mightily? Lord, would You not be hampered by our hearts today, but would they be open? Holy Spirit, come and open them and open our eyes that we might see You in the glory of who You are. Give grace to me as I preach. Lord, as we seek to know what Your Word says and what it means and how it applies to us today, and particularly in regards as we think about the role that mothers have today in raising children. For Your glory now, accomplish Your will, even through a sinner like myself. In Christ's name, amen. Well, this morning, as we are thinking about Mother's Day and the role that mothers have, I'm just mindful of how impactful mothers can be on shaping the futures of their children, particularly as they pass down values to their children. Now, I'm blessed today. My mother happens to be in the congregation with us today. I'm not going to ask her to stand because if I did, she might send me back out to the switch tree like when I was 8, and I don't want to do that again. And my dad's here too. Thank y'all for being here. I mentioned a little while ago that we met our goal. That means that we will get a look at our my wedding video, Misty and I. And we'll probably do that next week. So come if you want a good chuckle. However, just to let you know, I look better then than I do now, so I don't have anything to worry about. But you're going to see my mom in that, probably in some of those clips as well. Well, she looks better now than she did then. So looking forward to that. But moms do. They do shape our futures. They shape our values. I'll share some ways that my mother shaped who I am, particularly through some things that she said over the years. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done when she would tell my little brother and I, "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning." My mother taught me religion when she would say, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet." She taught me time travel when she would say, "If you don't straighten up, I am going to knock you into next week." She taught me logic when she would say, "Why? Because I said so. That's why." One that I am now passing on to my children as well. My mother taught me genetics when she would say, with her head shaking, "You are just like your father." Yes, our mothers do pass on to us a great deal. They influence us. And so as you think about the influence, particularly mothers, that you have on your children, be mindful of the responsibility you have to influence your children in a Godward direction. The most important factor, the most important way that you'll influence your children is to point them to Christ Jesus. It's to point them to the gospel, to show the love of Christ through your hands and through your voice. This is what Paul referred to as he spoke to young Timothy. When he wrote to him, he said, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." This is 2 Timothy 1, 5. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt in your grandmother Lois, in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." Isn't that awesome? Timothy could look back to a heritage of holiness that was passed down to him, starting with his grandmother, probably a first-generation Christian as Jesus walked the earth. And then that got passed down to from the grandmother to the mother, and then from the mother to son. And then God used Paul to influence Timothy as well to do remarkable things in the first century church. And so now, as we are looking at what Jesus is teaching, these values that are vitally important for a Christian to understand and live by, that's what we see in Matthew chapter 6. Then let us be mindful that this is what mothers should be teaching to their children as they pass down kingdom values. And the overarching value that we see in the section of Scripture that I've picked out is that mothers should teach their children to value kingdom riches over earthly riches. A vitally important value if you're going to know true success in this world. What is he telling, I guess, the application here, mothers? What should you do for your children? Teach them to treasure what is valuable. Teach them to treasure what is truly valuable. Verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." You notice that what he doesn't say. He doesn't give us just a poverty gospel and say to say, don't seek wealth, don't store up wealth. Doesn't say that. What does he say? He's just saying, make sure you store up treasures in the right place. The right kind of treasure. Store it in the right kind of place. And Jesus speaks with this eternal perspective. And he says, look, it's not too smart to spend all the time and all the resources that God has given you on this earth to spend your days amassing wealth that you are eventually going to lose. That's what happens to all the wealth that we amass in this world, doesn't it? It perishes. This is what Jesus says. It says, everything that we have is going to perish. We don't keep any of it. Every valuable perishes in one or two ways. Either it deteriorates or it is stolen. It deteriorates, or that's what he means when he says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth here. Moths and rust, what they do, they destroy it. Our thieves steal it. First of all, think about how it deteriorates. Probably the classic example that I thought of as I was contemplating this passage this week was garage sales. How many of you, this is like garage sales central, Dothan, Alabama. I mean, we have garage sales on every corner. I mean, it's amazing how many garage sales we have. And I'm just blown away when I go to garage sales or when we decide to have a garage sale, because you'll sell something that you once thought that you could not live without for nothing. I mean, couches that you buy for $500, you sell for like three. You buy pants for what, 50 bucks? What do you want me to sell these for, Misty? I marked 50 cents on them. You know, well, why? Why would we do that? Because earthly riches deteriorate. The value becomes less and less. Jesus said, it's ridiculous to spend your life chasing after that kind of treasure. He said, deteriorates. Not only that, it gets stolen. It gets stolen somewhere. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. In Jesus' world, it was even worse than it is today. I mean, nothing was safe. Even in the house. Today, we put locks on our doors. We put alarms on our windows and doors. In that day, they didn't even you didn't even have to go through the door if you wanted to break in and steal somebody's stuff. The wording in the language of the New Testament is not actually to break in. It's to break through. If people wanted your stuff, they just dig through the clay walls. They would dig their way into your house and take your stuff. So that's kind of the world we live in. It's here, it's gone. It's very
you know, had it, and it's not. Where'd it go? Does money work like that in your house? How can we not have any money? You ever felt like that? I just got paid. Listen to what Proverbs says, 23:4-5. Do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it's gone, for suddenly it sprouts wings and flies off toward heaven like an eagle. Did you know money has wings? It does. It just lifts right up out of our pockets, right up out of our bank account. Off it goes. That's the way money acts, and it's always acted that way. So Jesus says, spend your days storing wealth, but don't spend your days storing wealth with wings. Did y'all catch that? Like I did that, Mike? All right? That's good, right? Don't spend your days storing wealth with wings. Spend your days storing wealth that you can enjoy eternally. So it's got to be a different kind of wealth that we're after. A more substantial wealth, a more valuable wealth. One that doesn't perish, one that will enjoy forever. Verse 19, look at this again. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Why was this so important for Jesus? Well, he tells us why, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. Catch that through. That's that spiritual principle that's running throughout this. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, a lot of times we misunderstand this and think, well, okay, that I'm going to place my treasure where my passions are, where my heart is. That's not what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is not teaching that, okay, you know, I'm gonna put my time and my resources and my money on the things that I love. He's not saying that. It's not what he's saying. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. He's saying wherever you put your treasure, your heart follows. Let me put it like this. He's saying you teach your heart what is valuable based on what you do with your wealth. Did y'all hear that? You teach your heart what is valuable in this world based on what you do with the wealth and resources God gave you while you were here. So, you see, mothers, you have this huge responsibility to teach your children how to teach their hearts what is valuable. Because right now, we live in a world that treasures trash. That treasures, that put the highest value on things that are going to have zero value at the ends of their lives. You may know who I'm talking about when I say the name author Stephen King. Now, I'm not recommending any of his books. He's a horror author. However, he was involved in a terrible car crash a number of years ago that left him severely injured. As he was giving an address to the students at Vassar College, he shared a little bit about what he learned in the midst of that ordeal. He said this. He said, I'm worth, I don't know how many millions of dollars. But here's what I found out. I found out why I was lying in the ditch at the side of a country road, covered with mud and blood, with the tibia of my right leg poking out of the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard in my wallet. But when you're lying in the ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. We all know that life is ephemeral. It means it's fleeting. But on that particular day, and in the months that followed, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's simple backstage truths. We come in naked and broke. And we may be dressed when we go out, but we are just as broke. Warren Buffett, going out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, going out broke. Stephen King, broke. You guys, broke. Not a crying dime. And how long in between? Not long. Just a blink of an eye. Just a blink of an eye. He goes on to say, we have enormous resources in this country. Resources that you yourselves will soon command, speaking to these students. But they are on loan, only yours for a short while. You'll die broke in the end. And it's just the blink of an eye. Well, that's an encouraging message for us this Mother's Day, isn't it, Bradley? It's Jesus' message to you. You come in with nothing, you go out with nothing of this world. Think about the enormous time and energy we put in pursuing what is worthless in the long run. And Jesus says, don't live like that. No, live another way. Here's how you teach your heart, okay, to treasure what's valuable. He gives us some other thoughts here. He says we need to teach it. Why? Because a misled heart leads to a misdirected life. A misled heart. Teach why? Because a misled heart leads to a misdirected life. And he goes in to describe some hows here as he explains. Verse 22 and 23, he gives some examples of what happens when your heart treasures what's not valuable. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Wow, that's a... What are you talking about, Jesus? What is he saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying this. Look, your eyes, they're the lamp of your body. Your eyes is what brings a light, if you will, for the body. Your eyes determine whether you're sighted or whether you're blind. It all depends on your eyes. And if your eyes are working right, then light enters into the body and the whole body benefits. The eyes light up the whole body. Think about what you use your eyes for. You use your eyes to get dressed this morning, didn't you? You use your eyes to drive here. Using your eyes to read the Scripture. You're using your eyes to look at me. You're using your eyes to tie your shoes. You're going to use your eyes when you go out to eat this afternoon. You're going to use your eyes if you're going to cook for your wives, gentlemen. I get that. You use your eyes for everything. They give a kind of guidance. They give what nothing else can give. They put everything into perspective. And Jesus recognizes that, and then he says, essentially, but if your eyes are impaired or diseased in some way, and light can't enter into it, then your whole body is affected as well. Not just your eyes are impaired. Everything you do is impaired. Blind people can't drive. They have to relearn just about everything they know how to do. There are things that they can't do. If the eyes are affected, if they're healthy, whole body's blessed. If the eyes are impaired, if they're blind, then the whole body is blind. And so now he's going to draw a parallel. He's using that as an analogy. Okay, if then, that's the analogy here. Watch this. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So listen. If then the light that's in you, the eyes of your soul are diseased and impaired, then a diseased soul prevents enlightened living. Did y'all catch that? He's saying, just like if your physical eyes are diseased, it affects the whole body. If your soul is impaired or diseased by chasing after what is not valuable eternally, then it'll impact your entirety. It'll impact all of you, your entire life. You won't have enlightened living. So what is enlightened living? So that your soul's not impaired. Your eyes are open. Here's what it is. Listen, just like the eyes give guidance, enlightened living is the insight that comes when a person can live and lives close to God. It's the light that comes to the soul. It's the guidance. It's the insight. It's what they have. It's a seeing that other people can't see. And Jesus says that you don't have that. If you're living your life in corrupt values that's affecting all of your life, then in so many ways you're blind to godly wisdom. And if you're blind to godly wisdom and insight, how great the darkness is in this world. And look at our world, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the world. The darkness is great. Why? Because people are not living by values that Christ is worthy. That He is the treasure. A misled heart that's consumed with gaining earthly wealth will never produce a mind that is filled with godly wisdom. You want godly wisdom? You've got to value the things of God more than the things of this world. That's what Jesus is saying. And parents, let me just speak to you here. What are the greatest fear of parents? I have three children now, and this is bringing some light to me. The greatest fear of any parent is for a child to die, no question. No question. But the second greatest fear, let me just speak from my own heart for a moment, is for my children to leave my home without godly wisdom to deal with this world. Is that a fear of any of yours? It's a fear of mine. Because this world is wicked and it's dangerous. And it's evil. And it's corrupting. It's corrupted and it's corrupting. So I want my children to have their eyes open. I want them to value the things of God. I want them to value God. I want them to value Christ. Because when they get into this world and they gain more responsibility, I want them to have the wisdom they need to maneuver the pitfalls well. Don't just expect that to happen. You've got to give them right values so it does happen. Just don't teach them, just don't teach them don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't chew. Don't go out with girls that do, Just don't go to church. You ought to do what's right. Do right. You've got to give them more than a list of rules and say, here, you just got to live by these. You've got to give them the values that inform the rules. If all you do is just give them the rules, they're going to fail miserably. How do I know that? Because we fail miserably with rules. Look at the law. It's why God gave us a Savior. It's why God gave us Christ to show us that we are innately sinful. And so just don't give them rules. Give them a relationship with God. Give them Christ. Pass down faith to them and show them that that is the most valuable thing you will ever have. Okay, there's one more point before we get to that second point there. Well, actually, a few more I need to mention. That leads to, this is quick, a misdirected life leads to a misaligned will. That's why you need to make sure the values are right that directs your life. If it doesn't direct their life, then they'll never accomplish God's will for their lives. What he means in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or he'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Most of us like to kind of strike that out of our Bible there. What is he saying? He said you can't have two number one masters. You can't have two people, two things, two gods in one spot, the number one spot. God, why not? Here's why. Now listen, here's why that won't work. God won't allow it. He will not allow it. God will not allow us to live in absolute hypocrisy very long. He will either show us for who we are, or He will cause us to be so convicted that He will take over the number one spot. He says, you can't love two. You'll just be devoted to one, despise the other, one way or the other. You cannot worship two gods in the number one spot, both God and money. Can't do it. A misdirected life will never accomplish the will of God. So teach them to treasure what's valuable. Secondly, show them the value of having a relationship. It's kind of tied into what I just said. But Jesus, essentially what Jesus says is he uses this word therefore in verse 25. He's connecting what he's just said in the passage we've read in verse 19 through 24 to what he's going to say in verse 25 through 34. In light of the dangers of having a misled heart, Christ says, here's how to lead your heart correctly. Teach your children, God will meet their needs. It's one way to teach them to lead their heart rightly. Teach them God will meet their needs. We take our money and we take it and we throw it in all these different directions. Why? We're scared to death that God's not going to meet our needs. We think we've got to do it. It's not what Jesus says. Verse 25, therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. As he's saying there, hey, I don't have to work. God's just going to throw everything I need to me. That's not what he's saying. Paul would say in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone's not willing to work, let him neither eat. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this. You go out and you strive to glorify me in the best work and best way that you can. And here's what you need to know. I've got you covered. I've got you covered. I'm going to meet you. Now, I'm not going to always meet your greeds, but I will always meet your needs. So stop worrying about that. Start trusting God. That's ultimately what we're saying when we say, teach them God will meet your needs. Teach them to trust God. Because when we don't trust God, some terrible things happen. What happens, Jesus says here, when we don't trust God, is number one, we distort God's love. We distort God's love. Verse 26. He says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Then he's going to ask us a question. Let's answer it. Are you not of more value than they? Are you not more valuable than birds? Answer, yes. Yes, you are. The environmentalists of our day need to understand that. That we are more valuable than birds. We are more valuable than trees and whales and whatever else. That humans are more valuable. But now be very careful about misinterpreting me or Jesus on this when he says that. All right, when I'm saying that. Jesus didn't die for you because you were valuable. You are valuable because Jesus died for you. Jesus makes you valuable. He takes a sinner and he transforms it into a saint. He makes you valuable. Jesus didn't die for the birds. He didn't die for the trees. He didn't die. He didn't. Now there's some big things maybe happen with this, but he died so that you might know God. And that makes you valuable. Don't distort God's love any other way. Not only do we distort God's love when we don't trust God, we also waste our energy. Verse 27, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Man. He's saying, look, just don't worry about it. Don't worry. Mamas, did you hear that? Teach your children not to worry. Doesn't help anything. Now kind of stop and kind of just sit there. Because the one thing I know about women, and men too, particularly women worry. Now I might get shot as sexist, but I'll just tell you, that's my experience. Alright? How much has worry helped you over your lifetime? How much of your lifetime have you spent worrying? How many hours? Here, just quantify it. How many hours over your X number of years have you spent worrying? And how much has it helped? Jesus says it's helped none. It doesn't make you live longer. Another way to translate it is it doesn't make you taller. You know, scientists say now, if anything, that it shortens your lifespan, right? And it just doesn't. Nothing ever good comes from worry. The saying about worry is not, he worried himself to life. What is it? He worried himself, or she worried herself to death. That's exactly what worry does. And the reason we need to stop and kind of sit there just for a moment, and more mothers, by worrying in front of their children, are teaching their children to worry and not trust God by example than they are to say, we must not worry here. God is in control. It's how you teach your children values. Not simply by what you say, but by what you do. And thirdly, when we don't trust God, we overstate our abilities. Verse 28, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Look at the flowers. They don't worry. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You... of little faith. Now catch this. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to followers here. And he's saying, you're struggling with worry. And you have little faith. He says, look at Solomon. What is worry? Worry is the act of telling God, I can't trust you, I gotta do it on my own. That's worry. Oh no, that's what worry is. God, I don't trust you. I've got to take care of it. That's why I'm concerned. Because I'm not positive that the well that I'm pulling from are going to be enough resources to supply what I need. So I worry. I'm concerned. I'm anxious. I worry. And that is just a spit in the face to God. And it's conveying wrong value. It's saying to God, I've got to take care of it. And let's newsflash. You can't take care of it. You can't take care of your life. There's too much. It's too painful. It is too difficult. Solomon says, he says, look, Solomon couldn't clothe himself like God clothed the flowers. God can take care of you. Don't overestimate what you can accomplish. Teach them to take care that God cares for their needs. And secondly here, teach them that the giver is more valuable than the gifts. The giver is more valuable than the gifts. The last part, verse 25, is not life more than food and body more than clothing. Young people, you need to listen to this. Life is about more than what you can buy. It's about more than what you can wear. It's about more than what you can consume. It's about more than the kind of house you can live in, the kind of car you can drive, the kind of phone you can talk on, the kind of computer you can carry, the kind of jeans you can buy. Life is worth, it's so much more than that. What is life? The greatest treasure in life is knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the greatest treasure. This world doesn't understand that. If you get your value from the world, you won't understand that. Verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, the Gentiles, they're the lost folks. The Gentiles seek after these things. Your Father knows what you need. And he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things that you're worried about not having and not having your needs met, they will be added unto you. Jesus said, those that don't know God think life is about stuff, but those that know God knows that life is about the kingdom of God. It's about living as a child in a kingdom and living in a way that reflects the character of the King, His righteousness. It's about living for the glory of God. And young people and parents, if you will live for the glory of God in a relationship, a love relationship with God, giving Him glory through the Son who's died and rose again so that you might be forgiven of sin and restored to life, you will be so much less concerned about things. I'm going to do something this morning. As we close, that I don't think I've ever done before. I'm going to take a page. I'm trying to do something that my hero in the faith does, Charles Spurgeon, or did. He was alive 150 years ago. He used to write poems and about whatever he preached on. And he would do that from time to time. So I penned a poem for you today about this text and about the subject. It's just simply called Things. Life is filled with glittering things, which often comes packaged as hopes and dreams. Dreams to rise high, fly far. Dreams to have it all, the house, the car. But dreams without Christ are empty things. They lead us down paths by worthless means. And at the end of our search, how can we have so much and feel so hurt? It is because we were not made for things. We were made for Christ, and He redeems our souls from sin and gives us worth. He gives us life through a second birth. But is He enough to fill my life? Can He suffice? Well, you're about to see. Put down the things and pick up Christ. May that be the lesson that you teach your children. That you might be the grandmother that hands down faith to the mother, that hands down faith to the son, that hands down faith to his son, that hands down faith to that mother, and so forth, until the Lord comes back, or until every single person on earth gives glory to the King. Let's influence our children for what really has value in this world. Father, give grace. Give grace to us as we chase after what's worthless. Father, thank you that we know Christ today. If we have faith in Him, we're living in a relationship. I thank you for that. I'm aware of the fact that many in here probably do not have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, they have treasured things that will one day be of very little value, be of zero value. Lord, I pray that this morning they will meet Christ and they would pursue Christ, learning that He does suffice to fill our lives. Father, give grace. Open eyes. If that's you today, if you do not know Christ, and right now I implore you, turn from sin, put faith in Christ, flee to Him and from the things of this world, and find life of great value, a one that gives dividends for all of eternity. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation in just a moment. I invite you to come and just say, I want that Jesus. But there may be many of us who just need the wisdom of God. I know that I do. Many mothers here that say, I need the wisdom of God to teach my children what to value. Or maybe our children are out of the house and we just need to come and pray for our children. Maybe we taught them the best we could and they're still valuing the things of this world, being led down paths by worthless means, and in the end, only finding empty dreams. Let's do business with God, that God might change the world through us today. Father, give grace that we might treasure You, the only one who has true value. In Christ's name, amen.